Welcome to Eternal Christendom, consecrated to Our Lady for the glory of our Lord. I'm Joshua Charles. So we all know these are dark times, and in dark times you need to fight evil with the best weapon you got. And the Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary is probably the best weapon we have outside of the Holy Mass. So we're in the middle of the Great Rosary Campaign, which is a year-long mission for the conversion of cultural leaders. We're announcing every week on Sundays a call to pray for specific fallen away Catholics and non-Catholics. You can get an email update on Sundays about who our next prayer target is if you sign up at greatrosarycampaign.com. So this week's Great Rosary Campaign is a little bit more personal because it's a dear, dear friend of mine and somebody who I think all of you probably know, and that is Dennis Prager. So our rosary target is Dennis Prager, and the suggested penance this week, I'd like everybody to do a 24-hour water fast. And if you're staying in life, you're a construction worker, or you're older or whatever, if you can't do that as much, if you can't do as many hours, that's fine. Do 18 hours, 12 hours, whatever you can do. Be as generous as you can. So we obviously want Dennis to come to the Catholic faith. He knows that I desire that more deeply than anything. But Dennis has also had a horrible injury on his back. I've been in touch with Sue, his dear wife, and another dear friend, about the situation, and it's fairly serious. And so we need to be praying for him, both body and soul. And I wanted to say a few words about Dennis, because Dennis, few men are as kind and as genuine as Dennis Prager. I've known him for almost a decade, and Dennis took a chance on me. I was writing a book about the American founders called Liberty Secrets, The Lost Wisdom of America's Founders. And I had listened to Dennis for many, many years, you know, just kind of part of conservative politics and whatnot. He's obviously a giant in that arena. And he and I don't agree on everything, but especially at that time, we agreed on enough. And I thought he was one of the most thoughtful voices out there. Not only was he thoughtful, but Dennis treats those who disagree with him with great respect. And there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. There's not a whole lot of it going on today, but you can see that even to this day. This is just who Dennis is. Dennis has his views. He doesn't cave to people, but he treats them with respect. And I've always admired that about him. So not only was he deep, but he was respectful. And so that was why I wanted him to write the preface for my book on the American founding. So I emailed him, and I tried to use the fact that I'm a classical musician, a concert pianist, because I know he loves classical music, to hopefully goad him into responding. And sure enough, it worked. And he not only wrote the preface for the book, he did it for free. And I'll never forget that. And I was able to stay with Dennis at his house. I came out for a radio interview on his radio show for the book's release. And he offered his home, and I got to meet him and his family. And I've since, every time I go down to LA, I stay with him and his family. Wonderful people. And I remember seeing him waking up in the morning. I had gotten there quite late, and he was already in bed. So I saw him the following morning. And he came up to me, arms stretched wide, gave me a big old bear hug. And he used some Hebrew phrase that I forget what it was. But he said, "You are a son of this house." And he had a big old smile on his face. And I have never felt so welcomed by somebody who I view so highly. You know, he's a great, great hero of mine in the political sphere and a good man. And to have him treat me this way was just mind-blowing for me. A man I'd been listening to for at least 14, 15 years at that point. And he was calling me a son of his house. And it was just, it was really beautiful. It was really beautiful. And, you know, I've spent many hours with Dennis in his house. We've listened to countless hours of classical music. I've been with him on his radio show, some PragerU videos a number of years ago. And, you know, wonderful times with him and his friends. And Dennis is the real deal. What you see in public is exactly what you'll see in private with Dennis Prager. And I also want to mention another anecdote about Dennis. My sister, Nancy Charles, as many of you know, she converted to the Catholic faith last year. And she has quite a remarkable story I'd encourage you to look it up. She's been interviewed a number of times, and you can find videos of this on YouTube. Long story short, she came out of a life of homosexuality, and she was very, very close to getting, you know, surgically mutilated as part of the transgender movement. And thank God she didn't. But one of the reasons Nancy got close to the edge, but didn't quite go over. She got very close to the edge. I mean, drugs, rehab, suicide, I mean, all sorts of stuff. And I'm just so, so proud of her for where she is. But it was a haul to get where she is now. And like the rest of us, she's still a work in progress. I know I certainly am. But one of the things that kept her from going over the edge into the abyss were a few people like Jordan Peterson and Dennis Prager. Why? Well, there's many reasons. She could probably explain it a lot better than me. But essentially, Dennis helped her see what the church calls the natural law, that there's a moral order built into the universe itself, and that we could know this order. And, you know, I sent her a number of speeches that Dennis gave about the topic of happiness, which he considers a moral obligation, and I actually very much agree with him. And Dennis not only delivers these messages about happiness with great conviction, but with great jocularity, with great humor, with great comedy. He's a very, very funny man. And so there was one time when Dennis was coming up to my area, I'm in the Sacramento area, to give a speech. And, you know, relatively close to my house, but, you know, because he's in LA and it's just up in Sacramento, it's a very quick flight. Normally, what Dennis would do is fly up and he'd fly back the same day. I would do the exact same thing because I don't know about you guys. I like to sleep in my own bed whenever possible. So Dennis does the same thing. But for that talk, he didn't do that. He stayed overnight. Why? Because I called him up, said, "Hey, Dennis, my sister doesn't know I'm asking you, but if you'd be willing, I'd love to, you know, take you to dinner and for her to meet you. And I think it would mean the world to her. You're a great hero of hers." And Dennis agreed. Dennis agreed. Dennis didn't have to do that. He did his radio show from a local radio show, radio station, in the Sacramento area the next day. He didn't go back home. He stayed. Why? So he could spend several hours with my sister and I. And it was just wonderful and awesome. And not only did it help Nancy not go into the abyss, I truly believe, and I think she would say the same thing, that people like Dennis Prager ultimately prepared the way for Nancy to become Catholic. So obviously there's a lot of history with Catholics and Jews. Some of that history in the popular mind is not totally accurate, but there's certainly shameful periods on the part of Catholics. There's some shameful periods on the part of Jews as well. But obviously for many, many years, Jews were not always treated well. They were not treated as the image bearers of God that they are. The church stood up against many of the worst things on occasion, quite often. But there were many times when Jews were mistreated and persecuted. So I know that there is a great hesitance to say, well, Jews should convert or whatever. But this is where Dennis is also very special as well, because Dennis, we don't agree about who Jesus Christ is. Well, I guess I should say, we don't agree about who Jesus of Nazareth is. I believe he's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Dennis does not. But Dennis knows that my desire that he accept Christ as Messiah and come into the church comes from nothing but a place of love. And I've rarely seen anybody who embraces that as much as Dennis Prager, not only as a man, but especially as a Jew. Many of my dear Jewish friends, I'm not judging them, but there's a kind of a visceral reaction to any Catholic wishing for their conversion. And, you know, I get that. But Dennis has never had that. And in fact, he was extremely fascinated by my conversion from Protestantism. And as he and I have discussed, some of his ideas of what Christianity are is actually Protestantism. It's not really the Catholic faith. So he was absolutely fascinated. We've had a number of conversations about it. And Dennis is actually going to be who I devote, or devote would be the right word. We devote my next book to with Catholic Answers, which will come out tentatively sometime in 2026. And the name of the book is The Third and Final Temple, How the Catholic Church Fulfills the Old Covenant. And it's all about how all these patterns and typology about among the Israelites and how it was fulfilled in Christ and the church. And I'm dedicating it. Dedicate, there's the word, not devote. Dedicate. I'm dedicating it to my friend, Dennis Prager. And not only does he know that, but he's very touched by it. He's very touched by it. So, Dennis, we're praying first for a speedy recovery. But we're also adding what we Catholics call penance, this 24-hour water fast. And there's a whole deep theology of this. But essentially, the reason why is because we as Catholics believe that when Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for the sins of the world, that he thereby transfigured suffering itself. From that moment forward, no longer would suffering be a merely fruitless enterprise, a mere burden. This is horror that we have to just bear with no fruit, with no spiritual benefit. But after the cross, suffering itself was transfigured. And so we as Catholics believe that if we're suffering, we can offer that suffering through him to God. And it's fruitful, not only for our own selves and our own eternal life in heaven, but for others. And so this week, we are praying for your recovery. But we are also praying, as you know, I hope one day you do become Catholic. And whether you do or not, I'm still going to love you. That won't change. It will never change. But I do. I do want you to be Catholic. And we're not only going to be praying for you, but I'm asking Catholics all over the world to offer this penance for you as we offer penance for ourselves and for others. We're going to put a little skin in the game for you, Dennis. And again, I'm still going to love you regardless of what you do. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the hopes of Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, of Moses, and of the prophets. I know you don't believe that. But I also know you don't object to being prayed for. And so we're going to offer this prayer, this Holy Rosary, every day for you, this whole week, and see what God does. And my love for you, the love of thousands, probably millions of Catholics around the world, won't change, regardless of the decision you make. Though I hope one day that we can be around the same altar, receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Messiah together. So with that, a reminder that we pray the Rosary for three basic reasons: to keep the faith, for repentance and moral renovation, and for conversion. And we have six key biblical themes for this campaign. One, we pray for our brethren. Two, we pray for our enemies. Three, we pray for our leaders and those in authority. Four, we go into battle with the new ark. As the Israelites went to battle with the old ark, we go to battle with the new ark, Our Lady, going around Jericho and hoping that on the seventh day, those walls come tumbling down so that there can be conversions. Fifth, evangelism and apologetics. It's love, it's arguments, it's prayer, and it's penance. A lot of people just do arguments. That's not what I try to do. It's not what Eternal Christendom is about. We start with love, then we go to arguments, and we supercharge it with the two wings of the spiritual life, prayer and penance. And then sixth and finally, return good for evil. As I've said with all these videos, we're going to get accused of a lot of things. Protestants will accuse us of idolatry and worshiping Mary. And honestly, after this video for my beloved friend Dennis and his entire family, some people may accuse me of anti-Semitism. Well, you know what? I don't care. But what I do care about is their soul. And what I do care about is showing them respect. And so if you get those sorts of accusations, just return kindness. Return good for evil. I know it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother God. And I know it doesn't bother my dear friend, Dennis. So with that, Dennis, we wish you a speedy recovery. And we assure you that we are praying for you, for body and soul. And we love you. I love you. My sister Nancy says hello. And we hope and pray that we'll be able to spend some time at the local cafe restaurant. You know the one I'm talking about all these things and catching up. We love you, my dear friend. With that, we'll end with our normal anthem verse, Psalm 73, verses 25 through 26. Who have I in heaven but you, and on earth I desire nothing besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.